السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد. الحمد لله. Today we will continue in the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Asma'ullah al-Husna wa Sifatihi al-Ula. Before we start the name, we'll talk about muqaddima, an introduction today, about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an al-Kareem tell us that وَجَعْلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that He made for us hearing, vision, and af'idah. Af'idah is the place of making conclusions. And the scholar says it is the heart. The heart, the intellect of the heart. The heart has intellect. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. That they have hearts that they do not have understanding with it. So hearts is where the conclusion happens. So we go around in our lives and we use our tools, senses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Our hearing, vision, alaykum assalam, Allahu barakatuh, touch, smell, and so forth. But then we go to a level of idrak, okay? And after the level of idrak, there is a level of ta'aqqul, or aql. The level of idrak is a less than aql. Idrak meaning to notice things, but not necessarily knows to know the reality of things. Ta'aqqul is to know the reality of things. Idrak does not make you, does not give you the push to make a decision for an action. But ta'aqqul, to reach a conclusion, it brings you into action. Because we are human beings. Example, a child can have the senses and touches something that is smooth. And all the child can know about this is that which him or her is touching is smooth. And it could be a snake. Okay? That is idrak. That is noticing something. But not the reality of things. Okay? The reality of this smooth snake that it could harm you. So therefore, the ta'aqqul or an aql or a conclusion in this is you stay away from it. Does not matter how smooth or not it is, because you know what it is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the facility with which we can have idrak and have ta'aqqul. Can sense things but then reaches a conclusion of the reality of things. And that is part of Islam. We do not stop into a level and don't go deeper to know the reality of things. Meaning, we do not stop at the level of the surface, but we go deeper so we can move and make a difference. So we can move to an action. So Islam and its belief and action. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Okay, you believe, you have idrak, but you know the reality of things, and then you start moving in this life according to this reality. And this reality, especially about the things that are unknown to us, ghaib, is very important. Okay, because now you know things for certain that you cannot know with your senses. See? Now you're going to a level of knowledge. And this knowledge will take you to the level right away of movement on the right path. So a believer does not need to see it, touch it, hear it, smell it, so they start making a decision of how to do things. No. Now the level of iman is a knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you, that Allah tells you about, and you have no way of measuring it except the knowledge, except to know it. And once you know it, you go into action. Okay, that is belief. Okay. So now to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be in action all the time that matches with our fitra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with. Okay? This is one of the beauties of getting to know the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Because now Allah talks to us to our intellect, to talk to our ability to think, and then we reach conclusions. And now we are certain of these conclusions, and we are working according to it, according to the knowledge that we have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the best of knowledge. That is the most honorable knowledge. And it is the most beneficial knowledge in this life and in the hereafter. Okay? So the attribute of today, inshallah, is going to be Al-Qahhar. Alhamdulillah, we talked about Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir, Al-Ghaffar, or Al-Ghafur. And today, the 10th of Al-Qahhar. Al-Qahhar, as we talk about the methodology, the method that we use, the word, we can translate it to English, but it is not going to give the meaning that the explanation and how it is in the Quran and how it is in the Sunnah, how it is around us, going to magnify it. Al-Qahhar gives the impression of force. Okay? Forcing something into a certain direction despite of it. Okay? Forcing something into a certain direction despite of it. And forcing things that could go in one direction to another direction despite of all what the circumstances around it. So Allah yaqharu shay'. He puts qahr into things so it will go to a certain direction despite of it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qahara al-adam ala al-wujud. Allah forced qahara, the non-existent to existence. Think about that. Okay? Is nothing existed except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Allah, He was before everything else. Always was. And He will be ever after everything else and always will be. Okay? Of course, this is mind-boggling to us. Okay? But we take it as it is. Allah's existence is different than the word, how we take the word existence. The word existence is, we take it in a way that it was not here, but it is here now. but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does Allah exist? Yes, but not in the way of your understanding. That Allah did not exist, wal'a'adhu billah, and then existed, no. Allah's existence is specially fitting His majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah always existed. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sha'a, wished to bring existence to the non-existence. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced the al-adam, the non-existence, into moving into existence. So Allah created the heaven and the earth and everything in it. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced qahara, everything, into a way of existence, a special way of existence. Okay? So when we say, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, Allah, there is no ilah but Him, and He is hay, alive, always alive, always there. Al-qayyum qa'im ala kulli shay', He is overseeing everything. Okay? This is the qahr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon everything. Okay? So, you find the earth, okay, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qahar al-ard, put, force the earth into a certain rhythm. And it goes into that rhythm. Where it is, it goes around its axle, and it goes around the sun, and then the closer it gets to the sun, its speed is different. The more it stays away from the sun in its orbit, then its speed becomes a different speed. It is gravity, has a certain degree, and its movement around itself forces things off of it. So we have two forces, the force of the gravity, the pulling into the earth, and the force of the earth is rotating around itself, so force things off of it. So those two forces are perfect in a way that is for our existence in earth, so we can move as easy as we are moving in earth. Allah forced this rhythm to be the way it is. The sun, Allah forced it into existence with the power that Allah give it, okay? That comes up every morning and is existing all the time and gives its warmth to the earth, okay? Until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wish for everything to become non-existent again. So all this existence, Allah will force it to non-existent again. That is before the day of judgment. There is a time that this existence will disappear and will be gone. Okay, nothing. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ, to whom ownership belongs? And the answer is, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. It belongs to Allah, the only one, and He is Al-Qahhar, the one who forces things into what He wishes. So at that moment, nothing existing. Therefore, there is no ownership except the ownership that Allah has. There is no mulk except the mulk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. So He is Al-Qahhar about everything. So this, the existence that Allah commanded to be, Allah, within us, we know it, we sense it. Okay? So Allah qahara our vision to be in a certain way. Okay? And our hearing to be a certain way. Okay? Our ability to be a certain way. And despite of what mankind would like to do, and their plan of their actions, Allah will force them into ways that different than their plan, because He is Al-Qahhar. Now, Al-Qahhar subhanahu wa ta'ala qahara kulla shay', forced everything, even though there is no, even though there is difference between it. Example, there are certain ways about the earth, the fire, the water, the air, that does not quite match, but Allah forced it into matching. Okay? Example, the water. What is the water made of? Hydrogen and oxygen. Okay, H2O, right? Now, you try and put hydrogen with oxygen, what would happen? You get an explosion. Yes, boom, right. Okay? You get an explosion, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qahara those two gases together, and the result is water. It's the opposite of the fire. Okay? When you put them together, you get a fire, and the water puts out the fire. But Allah puts them together in a way of water, not fire. And you still use it to put out fire. That will be because of the interaction between hydrogen and oxygen. What is that? You understand? This seems to be contradiction. Okay? It is contradiction in a way of how we as mankind put things together. But how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put things together is as He wishes. So, the time of the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. And when the time where the seas will be lit up on fire. So that water, the oceans, okay, it will go to the first or the other relationship between oxygen and hydrogen. It will light up in fire. There will be explosions. Okay? The water will not have its quality as water anymore. Okay? It will have its quality as something else. So this matching, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it matching, but in the result will be different. Okay. How water and earth, okay, do not mix, it doesn't mix. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala runs the river right through the earth. And there is a benefit of the earth and a benefit of the water. Okay? And on and on and on. This matching of things, the soul and the body, the soul that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the body that is from earth, okay, how could those two match together? By the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give us a nafs. And this nafs, okay, is the one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts something in it that is free, okay? Different than all other creation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, except jinn as well, they have a choice. Okay? So, we as human being, we have that part of us, rawh, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay? The ruh that's spiritual, and the body that is physical. Okay? Now, the result as nafs, there is no English word for it. English is just a body or a soul. But in Arabic, there is a body and a soul, and then when together becomes a nafs. They have no choice independent of one another. The body does not have a choice by itself, and the soul does not have a choice by itself. But once they are together, now this combination of body and soul, which is a nafs, now it has a choice. And this is what we have in the way of qahr. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us His attributes. Okay? So do we have this part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attribute of qahr, of forcing things into happening? Yes, only within ourselves. Only within ourselves. With outside of ourselves, we have no ability. We are used by Allah, we make decisions, we try to do things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us tawfiq and make it happens or not. So Allah forces us into these things on the outside. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Hadith al-Qudsi said to us, to mankind, أَنَا أُرِيدُ وَأَنْتَ تُرِيدُ. I wish something and you wish something. Okay. فَإِذَا سَلَّمْتَ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. If you submit and surrender to what I want, رَضَيْتُكَ بِمَا أُرِيدُ, you'll be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. You'll have rida. Okay? وَإِنْ لَمْ تَرْضَ بِمَا أُرِيدُ, and if you don't wish what I want for you, أَتْعَبْتُكَ فِيمَا تُرِيدُ, I'll make it difficult for you from that which you want. You'll not have satisfaction. ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ إِلَّا مَا أُرِيدُ, At the end, nothing will happen except what I wish. So what kind of foolishness is this that we go through? Okay? Try to resist what Allah wishes. Okay? Is only going to increase our difficulties or brings upon us difficulties in this life. But when we submit to the wishes of Allah, therefore, Allah will make us pleased with what Allah has written for us and will have a comfortable heart and mind and soul and body, okay, and ruh and body. Now, but from within, we use qahr. From without, we can't. We have no hand in this. But from within, we do. Okay? Why? Because there are desires. Okay? The nafs is there, and there is a nafs, al-ammara bisu. The nafs will give you some ideas to do that which is bad. There is a nafs al-lawwama, that when you do bad, then it will blame you, or blame itself. So it has some mechanism that brings it back into action, right action, or right balance, in repentance and so forth. This is what we have in qahr, on forcing things. So Allah left that part in us free. So what we can do is, this is a desire, and this is not what Allah desires for us, so therefore we're going to suppress it. We're going to be in control of it. Okay, this nafs is going to be in charge of the body, not the body in charge of the nafs. Okay, when the body is in charge of the nafs, then the body brings the nafs down to a lower, okay, asfalu safilin, the lowest of the lowest. Okay, now that's when the nafs is following the body, and it brings it to a level of ma'ishat and danka, a life that is danka, the life that is miserable. Okay, but when the nafs is in charge of the body, okay, and it brings it up to the standard of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a way of control, that is when the nafs al-mutma'inna start appearing, the nafs that is tranquil start appearing. Okay, and then at the end, this nafs that try to control and to be on the path and to be in charge of the body, then it will, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end Allah will say to it, ya ayyuhan, يَا أَيُّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةِ, O nafs that is in peace, ارجعي إلى ربك, come back to your Lord, رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّةً. Okay? You pleased me and I please you. Imagine that. Okay? Then you know, I am going to make you pleased. Okay? رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي, come to my servant, who's my servant, and enter my Jannah. That is the qahr that we have control of, the qahr from within. But we have no, and this is an insult if you say that you have qahr from without. If you think that you're going to do something despite of the environment, despite of whatever it is. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ, and you will not wish unless Allah wish for you. In other words, you can plan. You can work from within to plan something and then try to execute this plan. And if it is not for the mashia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not going to happen. Okay? And if it is for the mashia of Allah, if it is that Allah wishes for it to happen, then it will happen. So you have no qahr in this. Allah is the one who is al-qahar. And we talked about Musa alayhi salam and the Pharaoh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced the Pharaoh into certain ways that he did not want to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yusuf showed us this. Al-Qahhar is in a way of magnificence, of the attribute of Al-Qahhar. Okay? You see how the circumstances, it seems to be going one direction, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces the results into a certain way. Okay? When the normal result or what you think of the result is something that is bad. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is part of the qahar. Remember when we said, here is the hydrogen and the oxygen together, they are water. But if you try to put them together, you get an explosion. Okay? Similarly, in the events we have in our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced it into certain direction because he is al-Qahhar subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite of what seems to be like. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he is taken and thrown into the well. Okay? Now he is going to die. Something will happen to him and so forth. Okay? No, he's going to be saved. But he is saved. But the one who took him as a slave. He's going to be sold in the market. That is bad. No, that is good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing into this event to a certain way, despite what it seemed like. The one who bought him is the one in Egypt. He's away from... And how is this going to happen? How his knowledge is, or his goodness is going to come out of that? He is a slave now. No, he is a slave, but he is learning a trade now. Have you ever thought about how did Yusuf alayhi salam acquired his ability to manage Egypt and the wealth of Egypt? Where did he acquire this knowledge? This is a knowledge that you have to be trained in. Okay? Okay? Beside the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, and the hikmah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. But the know-how has to be there. He had that experience when he was slave in the house of this man who was one of the honorable people of Egypt. So he was into this business and he was doing this work. Okay? Okay. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he sold as a slave, that is how we give him honor and ownership. See that the contradiction. Okay? This is when he was sold as a slave, so he would have honor and ownership. This is does not match. No, this is Allah al-Qahhar. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forcing things despite of what it seems like, and Allah has a plan. Okay? Throughout the surah, we see the event, people wish for something and Allah wishes for something else. And Allah wishes happen. People keep wishing for something and Allah wishes for something else. And allows them to execute their plan. But the result is a wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. Okay? And subhanallah, in the surah, okay, Yusuf alayhi salam, he thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mulk that Allah has given him. And remember when we talked about al-Malik, we talked about this point, that this mulk, it is not the mulk of Egypt. It's not the mulk of ownership. It's not the mulk of the treasury that he was able to do this and that. No, it is the mulk, the true mulk. And the true absolute mulk we have is upon our desires. Okay? This is the true ability of mulk. Okay? Now, so here is Yusuf alayhi salam. Thanks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ability of that he was able to do qahr to the desires that he had toward the woman that tried to seduce him. Didn't Allah say, وَهَمَّدْ بِهِ وَهَمَّ بِهَا? Okay? هَمَّ بِهَا. He was, you know, a young man who has the desires and so forth. لَوْلَا أَنْ رَأَى بُرْهَانَ رَبِّ. If it wasn't that he's seen the evidence of Allah and so forth, now he worked into obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was able to control his desire. He thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that ability and the ability of being in control of his desire and forces his nafs upon his body. Forcing the nafs despite of what the body wants. Okay. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forced non-existence to existence. Forced al-adam, okay, to being, okay, to existence. And then, at the end, the day of judgment, before the day of judgment, the end of the world, Allah will force this existence to non-existence. And he will say, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكِ الْيَوْمِ? And the answer, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ. Now Allah is al-qahar, okay? Now, Allah will also force the non-existent at that time to existence again. Okay? Because he is al-Qahhar. But now, the existence to come Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put qahr upon the beings and the new creation that Allah will create, different than the one that we have now. Okay? Different than that we have now. So Allah will make things exist to react to us according to how we used our qahr upon our nafs upon our body, our qahr on ourselves, our control of our desires. So things will react different to us. See, it is not no longer going to be, if you put your hand in the fire, it will burn. This is a believer or a disbeliever in this life, the same thing will happen to them. If a believer put his hand in the fire, it will burn. If a disbeliever put his hand in the fire, it will burn. But in that day, Allah changes this. The fire will be there, and there is some opinions, as we were talking last week or the week before, in the tafsir, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا in, all of you will arrive to it. Okay? كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا. It's must upon your Lord that you will arrive to it. But some scholars says arrive to it, that means you will go by it. And some scholars says no, you will go in it. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا. Then we will save those who have taqwa. Okay? And وَنَظَرُ الظَّالِمِينَ فِيهَا جِثِيَّا. And we leave those who commit injustice in it in their knees. So that means when Allah says we'll save the believers and leave the disbelievers in their knees, that means we're going to be in it. But it's not going to react to us the same way that it is reacting to the disbelievers. It will be for us like the nar was upon Ibrahim alayhi salam. So now here is Allah forcing things according to your deed now, according to who you are. It is not the same for everyone. So as-sirat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is sharpest than the sharpest of your swords. And it will be above on hellfire. But for the believer, it will be like wide and a big valley for him. Okay? So here is something existing, but exists different. Allah qahra shay' now, put qahra upon this, and it reacts different to you, the believer, and to the disbeliever. Time will be different. Okay? It is not equal for everything and everyone. So how long is the day of judgment? 50,000 years. But for the believer, it will be like two quick rak'at. Subhanallah. Okay? So now, how could that? Allah al-Qahar. Allah will force into this life to come into this system, the new system that Allah wishes. The system for reward and the system for punishment at that day. Okay? And then when we enter Jannah, inshallah, now it is a whole different system. Okay? That you do not have to have a force into anything now. That that desire that within you, it is not, you're not going to be forced into controlling it. Why? Because there is nothing bad in this in the hereafter, in Jannah. Okay? So you no longer need to work against your desire. Actually, Allah said, work for your desire. It becomes a completely the opposite now. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will talk to us about Jannah, about things that has to do with our desire. So Allah will talk about Hur al-Ain. Okay? How beautiful the wives of Jannah are, and the spouses in Jannah are. Okay? How beautiful the taste of the fruit of Jannah. Okay? And the enjoy of this and that. This is things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life tell us, you know, you have to have control over it, you have to do this and that. In the hereafter, in Jannah, it is the opposite. You did the qahr upon your desires. Now your desires is going to be magnified into pleasure with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the ultimate of pleasure is to be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be with the one with all the attributes. See, this is, we're talking about the attributes. To be with Allah with all these attributes is the best reward. And it is, again, we sense certain attributes of Allah in this life. And it's only 99 attributes. But Allah's attributes and names has no end. Okay? Because Allah does not have any end. So therefore, imagine you in Jannah, whose experience is attribute of Allah that you did not experience in this life. Because attributes that's new to you, that you did not know before. And not only that, but you experience it in a different way. Even the ones that you know, you experience it in a magnified way that you never experienced it before. Because that is true pleasure. That is true pleasure. Okay? That you now you are created in a way that within us, Allah, again, forces our creation to be in Jannah to something else. So you will not have any ghil within you. Any ghil, that feeling that you might dislike something, dislike someone, and so forth, envy this, and so forth, that ability is gone. Okay? So whatever it is that you desire now, it is in goodness. And you're going to get it without even an effort, without even taking the means to get it. In this life, we take the means to force ourselves into obedience. Okay? In the hereafter, you'll not even take the means into pleasure. Okay? You know, you're not going to exert an effort into pleasure unless you wish to. Okay? As hadith, when someone was sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, smiled, Ya Rasulullah, what do you smile, Ya Rasulullah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I smile about a person in Jannah who wished to farm the land. Then he was told, if you want the fruit, you get the fruit. Right? Why would you want to farm it? Right? He said, I wish to do that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him, okay, work the land. So he would work the land, and then the fruit will be there right away. Okay? So he'll get what his desire. Then one of the companions said, oh Ya Rasulullah, he must be someone from Medina. We are people of Mecca, we don't go, you know, to do things. We don't think that way. Okay? So Rasulullah smiled of what the companion said. Okay? So, you know, even that, taking the means, okay, if this is your wish to take the means, go ahead and take the means. But it is in a way that is different. It is not taking the means because you have to take the means, because it's a pleasure that you take the means. So, we go now in our lives and look at things around us. And we look at events that are around us. And we should have peace in our heart that these events for the Muslimin all over the earth, for the events that you going through individually and so forth, despite of what you're trying to do, Allah created these events and move it and قَهَرَ هَذِي الْأَشْيَاءِ, forcing these matters into and forcing it into a certain direction. Now, our part of this is to say, how can I bring benefit to others? Not to please others. And there is a big difference between pleasing and serving, benefiting. Okay? We could never please people, right? We all, in our culture, we have, you know, all of the jokes about this, right? That he tried to please the people, no one will be pleased, right? You know, Joha is walking with the donkey, right? And with his son, did not go on the donkey. Both of them were walking. People made fun of them. You know, he's stupid people walking, and the donkey is just walking with them. Well, one of them can go on the donkey. He got on the donkey. a man who have a difficult or rough heart. He's on the donkey and his son is walking. So he put the son up and he walked. He said, look at the son who does not have respect to his father. He's on the donkey and his father is walking. Both of them got on the donkey. Look at these people who have no compassion toward animals and so forth. Finally, he walked and carried the donkey with on his back. Okay. So the issue of please, we're not, Allah did not create us to please people, but Allah created us to serve people. Okay? And pleasing people is impossible and it's not commanded. Okay? But to serve Allah is possible and it is commanded. Okay? So, whatever events around us, it seems to be going in different directions that where it should be, we should not think of it that way. Because it is going exactly where it should be. Okay? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala designed it this way. Okay? And when we do our best, okay, Allah will use us in His way to bring the good results that Allah wishes. And that is the ultimate reward in this life, is to be used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? And this is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with you. Okay? When you find Allah is using you. Okay? And in many cases, you'll be surprised that you've been used. Because all of those who've been used, they think of themselves that are not worthy. Those who think they are worthy of being used by Allah, they're not going to be used by Allah. Okay? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions in the Battle of Badr, they were worthy and they were used by Allah. Despite of their disability of equipment and so forth. And they were surprised about what happened. Okay? So, this is how we should be working. Okay? We should be working to bring ourselves into this high level of control. One scholar also made a comment, beautiful, fine comment about Al-Qahhar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, Al-Qahhar is the one that does qahr to his servants in obedience. Okay? Meaning that you want to be so close to Allah, you are sincere, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the environment, will force into this into happening. And you'll be forced into this pleasure. And his force here is it's a pleasure to be in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move your heart into loving Allah, wanna be in a way of obedience to Allah, wanna be true servant of Allah, wanna do qiyam al-layl, wanna do the fasting, want to be sensitive. Allah will make you force you into being sensitive to what Allah likes and what Allah dislikes, to be sensitive to the attributes of Allah all around you, okay? To be in Jannah, in earth. Okay? Here is Al-Qahhar in a beautiful way for the servants of Allah. So here is, with this understanding, Al-Qahhar is not only the one who forces, meaning those who are disobedient, trying to do harm into their work eventually to benefit, but also those who would like to do good and to do benefit, Allah, despite of everything around them that's going on to be an obstacle against them, Allah will force things happening for them as an individual, as a group, as a nation, as a Muslimin in earth. Eventually, this result will happen until the time will come, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send the cool wind, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam describes, that will take the soul of the believers, okay? And then the earth will be only inhabited by the disbelievers. And the qiyamah only will come upon those who are disbelievers. Sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa alayhi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, please, if you would like to make any comments, inshallah, please do so, and we'll open the discussion as we usually do, inshallah.
Yes, the microphone. The other one, yeah. If anybody would like to speak, Shalom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. I like the idea of, not the idea, the fact that Allah brought the existence of the universe, for example, from nothing.
Yeah,
subhanallah, this is amazing. But the
Don't
the,
we all know it?
Yeah.
But once you start thinking
about
it, and that is why you know,
Western
we need to ponder and ponder, yeah.
Scientist, you know, they stop short from this point. They said it's a, you know, started the Big Bang from something smaller as a, you know, tennis ball or something. They don't want to say it's nothing.
Non-existent.
Yeah,
yes.
Because, I mean, come on, it's a universe from a tennis ball or nothing. I mean, what's the difference if you it's small as a, like a tennis ball or a,
like the ability so much can do that, but
yeah,
but
still have to have some material in it, you know, that's small. But it's nothing, actually. Allah brought it from nothing. Wallahu alam how, but it was nothing. I mean, this is really when you think about
it, and it is.
Yeah, yeah. I know, but the materialistic
mechanism.
Life forced the scientists to say there was something as small as whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they could think about their, you know, their. They want to take Allah away from the picture.
Yeah.
They want to take Him out.
Yeah.
You know that there is no forest to do. It's mm-hmm. happened by itself. Mm-hmm. So they put something there.
Yeah.
Actually, it was nothing. You know. Was nothing, subhanAllah.
And this universe, now it is just it was a click and it is just going on by itself.
Right, and matwiyatun biyamini, Allah will fold everything, fold it back and come nothing again. SubhanAllah, when you think about this, I mean, all this universe,
Now, what is our problem
stars
now?
Stars and
it's like, you know,
nothing, yeah. So become, whatever you have a problem, it's like, come on. It's not a big deal. The whole universe is going to disappear.
And this problem designed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Subhanallah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's so imagine, walking around, smiling, say, I have a problem, you know?
Right. Yeah, subhanallah. And the idea that Allah forced things to happen in goodness in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, bad or good, sounds to us, looks to us bad or good, it's going to become good
mm-hmm.
in the end.
And just
that makes you, you know, when you have a problem, big problem, yeah, you should, like you said, you should smile and say, Alhamdulillah, I mean, I'm waiting for what next, you know, Allah will do. You take the means, but it's not going to help you too much, you know, taking the means. I mean, you will take it, but leave it, let it go when you knew you cannot do anything. Just let it go. Allahu
a'lam. Jazakallah. Brother Mahmood, you mentioned that Allah Ta'ala existed forever. It is mind-boggling.
Yes.
And another scholar said in this way, there's a fikr and there's zikr.
Mm-hmm.
And fikr is the thought.
Mm-hmm.
And there won't explain everything. You
right.
have to have zikr in your heart.
Right.
The belief to
yes.
have that.
Yes.
And that beautifully explained that to me that, you know. And similar in Quran, there's some ayat that's mentioned in Mutashabihat, which are not clear and some are very clear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those who have the, you know, have to go Mutashabihat, those who have their
yes.
heart is not clean or something.
Yes. It is all, and it is all from Allah.
Right.
And that's what the believer says. Kullu min inda rabbina. Innama yatadhakkaru ulul albab. Those who have lub. The one who remembers, yes, who have core in their heart and in their brain, you know, truly reflect on this and they remember. This is what it is. Allah, you know, هو الأول والآخر. He was here before anything else, and He will be there after everything else. Did Allah say that? Yes. Therefore, it is there. That's it. Yeah. I mean, why is this so difficult, right? When you don't even know what your soul is, you know, you don't know what your soul is. So why is this? You know, remember the one who was, you know, as the story goes, he was being he was having a debate with the an appointment for a debate, okay. With those who are, you know, do not believe in the existence of Allah and so forth, and so he was late, very very late. Until the people started insulting the guests, saying, you know, bringing us here and he's not here, no respect, no this and that. And finally he came.
And then he told him, I'm sorry, it was a big matter that happened to me. I had a ship that's supposed to be coming into shore. It was a lot of merchandise. But something happened, and everybody was off board, and it was a big calamity, and wind, and this and that. And so what happened? He said, the ship it eventually came from the middle of the ocean, and it was navigated somehow into the port, and everything was fine, was safe, and we got it. So they said, "Are you to the guests? Are you bringing us a crazy person here to talk to, you know?" And he said, "Why?" He said, "There is a sea," and they started with the logic now, right? Here is the sea, right? And here is the ocean, the ship with the wood, right? How could it be here? And here is the waves that go, and here is the wind, the possibility of this happening. It is impossible for all of this. It has to be someone was there that was able to navigate it and so on. He said, I'm crazy, or are you the one who's crazy? Okay? And he started talking about the universe and how, the earth and the sun Sama'u dunya and the next skies and the stars and so forth, you'll be crazy to say that this is just moving. Is this more difficult or this small ship in this little ocean that we have here?
I heard that someone came and told Sheikh that the ship is destroyed or sunk in the sea or something happened, that Sheikh had a lot of merchandise on that. Mm-hmm. So, meaning you lost your merchandise. Mm-hmm. So he said, Alhamdulillah. So after sometimes or next day or something, he came back, he said, no, Sheikh, the news was not correct. The ship is saved and your merchandise is safe. So he said, Alhamdulillah. Mm. So he said that, how can you say Alhamdulillah in both situations? Mm-hmm. He said that because when you said that my merchandise has been destroyed, I analyzed myself inside and it did not affect me. Mm-hmm. So I thanked Allah that it did not divert me from my attention. So when you came and you said that everything is saved, I analyzed myself and I did not see any diversion from my focus. Mm-hmm. So in both cases, I said, Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah for Alhamdulillah.
It is easy to say, maybe, but it's not enough. Yeah. How is it possible to say Alhamdulillah?
Yeah.
Just like you said,
okay,
it's all from Allah.
Yes.
And He's going to do it is correct. Uh-huh. What are you saying is correct?
Uh-huh.
But how do you convince your insight?
There is another component here. Okay, that the one who is close to Allah, Allah is not leaving him alone. Okay, so in the calamity that is so difficult and comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put peace in him, so he will react in a good way. Okay, it is a tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to His servants. Okay, and didn't that happen to you and to all of us at certain times in your life? And you, when you step out of it, say, how was I able to react this way? Okay? I don't know what came upon me and I was able to react this way. And when you came out of it, you wondering, this calmness and this wisdom and this and how did it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tawfiq. So he was saying, Alhamdulillah, that he worked in himself, Wallahu A'lam. He said, Alhamdulillah, that he worked in himself so much to be worthy that Allah put the tranquility in his heart for this event. Wallahu a'lam. Ya shuyukh, huh?
Ya shabab, I'm sorry.
The idea, Sheikh Mahmoud, that this understanding, if you can keep it with you all the time, not you, I mean us, if we can keep it with us all the time, no problems in the world, no problems in your life, no, nothing will bother you, nothing will, you know, will take you away from, you know, you will not get angry even, ever, really. I mean, you will be peace all the time. But we keep forgetting, you know. You get in the details of the life, you know, you how you look at the whole picture, and then you focus, you become like a very small problem, you focus in it, you don't look at the, you know, step out and said, what's going on here and why am I upset and this is Allah wishes and stuff like that. But you start, you know, because the people force you to do that, you know, you forget.
But
if we can step out, you know, from any problem and think, you know, like this thing, okay, this is just me and this is a situation, Allah will force it in, well, I am obeying Allah, what's wrong with that? And you go, and then you will never have a problem. You then, you know, become in peace. But how to reach this? This is a lot of.
You are describing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
He
was never caught into an event.
Right.
He was always outside of the event.
Right. Subhanallah. Because of the prayer in the night. I mean, standing all the night prayer. You cannot be. Yeah. You cannot corner him.
Look at the big picture.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he never get angry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Except when somebody break the law of Allah, of course. But the personal things, he never...
And the companions will be surprised in a certain moves that Rasulullah...
They take their swords, they want to kill him. They always ready to defend, in a, you know. But that's amazing. Yeah. I mean,
Even in the physical matters, you know, the companions looking under their feet or... tomorrow or the day after, and here's Rasulullah would make some kind of a decision, then they would wonder and scratch their head, what is this? And then after a long time they say, oh, this is how far Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam seen things.
Subhanallah. And I mean that Sulh al-Hudaybiyah,
yes,
I mean that was amazing decision, how he looked at it.
And arriving to Medina, the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did is having a treaty with what the tribes around Medina.
Right.
You know, here is a treaty made with tribes that is surrounding Medina. So here is eventually the Quraysh will be here and so forth and so on. Subhanallah.
Yeah, may Allah yani give us the ability of stand fast when the problems come, you know.
And then you see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after all taking the means, sitting in the battle of Badr after he prepared them and making dua and cry. You think that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you know, has more iman than Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, what Abu Bakr sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one going to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying,
take it easy.
Yeah, Allah promised you and it will happen and so forth, right? But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is showing us taking the means. The trust in Allah, the taking the companions and show them and point at places saying, so and so will die here, and take them another place, and so will die here, and so forth. That surety. And then after he's done that, he goes and cry and pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So yeah, if we take something from today, inshallah, that's me, and I'm trying to do that, inshallah. Since Allah is al-Qahhar, is gonna in the goodness. I always think like this. Yeah. If Allah gonna force things to happen despite what everyone wants, so when something happen, we just have to, you know, see how we can not disobeying Allah in this situation.
Yeah,
that's it. I mean, how you could keep yourself not disobeying Allah, whatever the situation is. Yeah. If you can't do that. And then the things will go to its way, despite, you know, you get angry, you get sad, you get happy, whatever it is.
As if you walk in and get into a place that is muddy, and you wanna, you know, you don't want this mud to come on you. You just tiptoe around it and go. Yeah.
Right. If you can do that, I mean, that would be great.
Subhanallah.
Inshallah.
Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khair.